Before we get into the episode, you may or may not be aware that 1 minute remaining can now be heard entirely in Spanish. And to celebrate OMR becoming fit for a Spanish audience, I have teamed up with AM Fitness, two brothers from South America, also friends of mine, who are passionate about fitness and helping others. And they want to help OMR listeners who are wanting to get themselves fit. That's me included. I'm doing this. So to get 15% off online plans, which gets you monthly coaching, workouts, and nutrition plans with one-on-one communication with your trainer, just head over to Instagram and go to A_MFitness and use the code AMFIT to get 15% off. And don't worry, you don't have to be Spanish. They speak better English than I do. You want to get fit and support a small business? Go check them out.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello. And welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Today, I'm catching up with David Bomber.
My name is David Michael Bomber. I'm currently a Virginia DOC inmate in the United States. I'm serving a 41-year and 60-day sentence for aggravated malicious wounding, second-degree murder, 3 counts of assault and battery, hit and run, and reckless driving.
Convicted for a murder that he says was self-defense, he is continuing his efforts for release.
Hey, Jack.
We got there, David. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm not doing too bad, my friend. I'm not doing too bad at all. What's been happening with you? So let's just do a quick recap of David and his situation for those who might be struggling to remember. On June 5th of 2010, David Bomber was at home at his apartment complex when he meets Larry Michael Worrell, a former Marine who was apparently known to have been suffering from PTSD. This was the first time the pair had met. They struck up a conversation and decided to have a few beers. A few beers would turn into a lot of beers. And eventually, David, his girlfriend, and Mr. Worrell found themselves in David's apartment. David says Mr. Worrell became agitated, started making aggressive comments, and an argument ensues. The former Marine, David says, places him in a military-style chokehold. David manages to get free due to his girlfriend causing a commotion and hitting Mr. Worrell. He runs to his kitchen. His girlfriend screams for him to watch out. As he turns around, he says he sees Mr. Worrell coming towards him in an aggressive manner. David grabs a knife from the kitchen and ends up stabbing Mr. Worrell once. This single stab wound would end up causing an infection that would ultimately kill Mr. Worrell. After stabbing Mr. Worrell, David says that one of his arguments for this being self-defense was the fact that he began to administer first aid. The biggest mistake he then makes that day, of course, apart from stabbing Mr. Worrell in the first place, was the fact that he gets up and flees the scene in a panic. Eventually, police catch up with him at a friend's home, and he is arrested and charged. David has exhausted pretty much all of the appeals that you have when you find yourself incarcerated in the United States. So for him, this really only leaves one option, and that is clemency from the state's governor. So talk me through that process and where you're at with it.
Well, I got to wait till September of this year before I can refile. I got turned down 3 years ago, and the way that works is you got to wait 3 years. at bare minimum. So I'm kind of getting ready for that.
With clemency in your particular state, what's that like? Because I know in some states it's, you know, it's almost like it's there, but it's kind of pointless because the governor has never given clemency and doesn't give me clemency. What's it like in your particular state with the governor and clemency?
Well, here in this state, they've actually been doing pretty good. Right now we've got a Republican governor. I haven't heard too much on his administration, but the last administration, he was a Democrat, and it was over 1,000 people that got pardons.
Wow.
I was kind of shocked. Yes. We have what they call no parole in Virginia.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of push to for criminal justice reform. There's a lot of chatter about it, but there's been no real change. There's a few promising things this year. Like one of them is a second look bill that there's a lot of bipartisan support for.
Tonight, there's renewed efforts here in Virginia to give those with long prison sentences a second chance.
Yeah, there's growing support for legislation making its way through the General Assembly, but not everyone is on board with this.
We're allowing people that have if you're in prison for more than 15 years, there's a chance that not only have you committed a violent act, but you also have a record. Not only just to ignore the victims, we're also talking about the fact that these individuals can get back in society.
The second look bill is designed, they changed it up, it used to be 10 years now, but the original proposal was 10, now it's 15 years, you can petition the court to go in front of a judge, and they can look at your case and your behavior while you're in prison and modify your sentence if they deem that you fit the criteria. So there's a lot for that.
Because obviously the hardest part about incarceration, apart from obviously being incarcerated, is trying to get back in court, trying to get in front of a judge, trying to get someone just to simply have a look at your case. You know, there's so many stipulations as to, you know, if they'll look at your case, and you need to have new evidence or, you know, something that hasn't been brought up in the past. You're sort of bound by dates and you've got a certain amount of time to file certain things. So this second look bypasses all of that. And just says, you know, after a certain period of time, we potentially will look at your case again just to check to see if there's any, you know, grounds for your release, so to speak, or, you know, resentencing.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Unfortunately for David and others in the state of Virginia, at the end of February this year, the bill that would allow people serving lengthy sentences the chance to petition courts to consider reducing their sentences was defeated in the state's General Assembly.
The second look bill would have allowed those who served 15 years for violent crimes to have a judge reevaluate their sentences. But that didn't happen. The House Appropriations Committee moved the bill to next year's agenda. Attorney General Jason Meares spoke out against the bill and issued a statement about it failing. In part, he said, quote, "This legislation is another example of the criminal first, victim last mindset that Virginians have rejected loud and clear."
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
But there's no parole system in your state?
Technically, no. There's guys that's been, basically in 1995, they abolished parole. So in other words, after July 1st of 1995, if you committed a crime, you wasn't eligible for parole. The guys that fell before that came into effect, they're still eligible for parole. And then they have another thing called the fishback rule. The fishback rule is kind of complex. It's basically, if you had a jury trial from, I think, 1995 to 2001, I believe, and if the jury was not informed that parole was abolished, then you're eligible for parole. But even Virginia, there's, I think, out of, I don't know, 1,000 people went up last year, I think, kind of 4 or 5 made them. Yeah, it's less than 1%.
But, I mean, this whole no parole system, because I know Florida is pretty much the same when it comes to this setup, and I think Alabama, although they say there's parole, no one's getting parole because of it, you know, one or two people that got parole and obviously did bad things after being released. The fact of putting a blanket no parole on everybody, it just seems to me insane because then, you know, prison is supposed to be not just punishment, it's supposed to be about rehabilitation. You know, and I know your situation, yours was obviously self-defense situation, but for, you know, the majority, it's about supposed to be rehabilitation, bettering yourself, bettering your life. And if you say, well, we're going to put you in prison, but that's it, you've got no hope of coming out, then what is the point? You know, everyone who goes to prison will just go, well, there's no point. I'm never getting out. There's no chance to get out. Why would I, you know, change my life? Why would I do any better? Why would I strive to be any better if it's pointless?
I agree with you. It's they do have a what they call a good time system here in Virginia. It's not much. It's if you maintain employment, stay in infraction free, and go to any programs that they put you in, then you earn your good time.
Yeah.
It's not much. It's like some 52 days a year. It's better
right.
than nothing.
Yeah.
Used to be 65%, but it beats doing 100% of your time. But yeah, I think with more good time and the possibility of parole, guys would want to better themselves. You know, they would want to rehabilitate themselves more and more.
Yeah.
Here, you got to kind of rehabilitate yourself.
I mean, I suppose that would be the argument, is like people should just want to better themselves anyway. But I mean, I suppose there has to be an incentive, I think. You know, there has to be something there to say, hey, look, if you do X, Y, and Z, you keep your nose clean for X amount of years, exactly how a parole system works. Then you go in front of the parole board and you say, look, this is what I've done, this is what I've achieved, X, Y, Z. And then they go, yep, look, you've done great. You know, it looks like you're on the path to something good. Here's your parole. Like, I mean, but I suppose, obviously, these parole boards in the past have made decisions about people and it's backfired. So they've just canned the whole thing.
Yeah, back in the 90s, there was a lot of bureaucrats that basically deceived the public into that we're going to make the streets safer by getting rid of people and locked up, throwing away the key. And it was just a story in the paper not too long ago, and they showed in the paper that it actually backfired. The streets are not any safer than it was back in the 90s. It's actually worse. So it's not a deterrent. You know, that's another thing that they used. They flew into the skies that it was going to deter people from committing crimes, particularly violent crimes, and that's not what happened. The violent crimes just increased.
I had this conversation with a couple of prosecutors not that long ago because we were talking about the incredible sentences that people get, you know, these insane sentences. And they said, oh, well, you know, it's a deterrent. And I'm like, well, it obviously isn't, because America has the highest incarceration rate in the world, but also has some of the most intense sentencing, some of the worst prisons, you know, hard prison time, no parole. All these things are in place in the United States, yet there is still, you know, almost double the amount of people incarcerated compared to the second biggest country, you know. So it obviously doesn't work, this whole being hard on crime, because it's not getting to the root cause of the issue.
See, I mean, look at the mass shootings we have here in the United States. We
yep.
just had one today at the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah.
So that whole thing is a deterrent, it's a farce, because, you know, we wouldn't continuously have these mass shootings because and we wouldn't be having all these carjackings and all this other various violent crime and whatnot. So I don't agree. To me, it's just nothing but a ripoff. You know, a lot of these states, they get federal funding. So, sure, if you're going to spend $90 million building a prison, somebody's got to pay for it between the taxpayers and the government. Somebody's pocketing the money.
And at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, really, doesn't it? Incarceration is big business.
Absolutely. The industry I work in, even though it's basically recycled money, you know, we sell products to back to the state. You know, it's a self-sustaining program, but still, it's there's money being exchanged.
Obviously, once you're in prison, you know, there's things that you guys all have to pay for and buy. It's, you know, stamps, it's tablets, a canteen, or whatever it might be. You know, there's just money non-stop being dished out. There's, you know, as you said, there's funding from the government to these things. It's big business.
Absolutely.
And the only way you keep funding that big business is by keeping those beds full.
They had another article, you know, that was talking about the amount of prisoners in Virginia. I want to say Vermont. I might be wrong about that. And they was comparing the two states, and unreal, you know, the way they described it.
According to a report by the Vera Institute of Justice, the average cost of incarcerating an inmate in the United States is around $31,000 a year. However, the amount of money prisons make per inmate varies depending on the state and type of facility. Private prisons, which in 2022 housed just over 90,000 inmates, which makes up around 8% of inmates across the United States, can make anywhere from $30 to $200 per inmate per day. So private prisons alone in the United States is a $1 billion industry. Many prisons across the United States generate large revenue from inmate labor. Industries such as manufacturing, agriculture and construction, and those products that are made are then sold for profit. And when the labor force is paid in some states as low as 14 cents an hour, profits are high. The American prison system is, of course, massive. It's the highest incarceration rate in the world. It's so massive that smartasset.com says it estimates turnover is $74 billion. This eclipses the GDP of 133 nations around the world. What is perhaps most unsettling about this fact is that it is the American taxpayer who foots the bill and is increasingly padding the pockets of publicly traded corporations like Corrections Corporation of America and GEO Group. These two companies alone make billions of dollars each year by incarcerating men and women. So what can people do to help you with your upcoming clemency appeal?
Well, they can go on change.org or my Facebook page. As I mentioned earlier, I've got to change my change.org because the way it was before, the way it's reflected now, it shows a bill I was trying to get presented. I never got it presented, so I'm just going to move on. I'm just going to change it back to the way it was to reflect my petition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably hard to tell either way, but are you quietly confident about this clemency that's coming up?
Yeah, because the last time that I put in my clemency, I didn't have all my ducks in a row. One of the things we talked about in the past is these ridiculous assaults I was charged with. I didn't mention it in my first clemency. I actually have photographs of the pool where all this happened, and like I said, the transcripts and telephone logs. And all this goes to support my defense that this couldn't have happened and that this stuff was fabricated and it was out to basically sabotage my character, make me look like I was being turbulent when I really wasn't. So I'm confident with that. So I'm going to file two separate clemency petitions. One's what they call an absolute pardon, and that's basically where there's evidence that supports that you're innocent. So I'm going to be filing that on the assault batteries. As I said before, I pled guilty to the hit and run and reckless driving, so I'm not gonna touch that. But I'm going to file what they call a conditional pardon on the aggravated malicious wounding and second degree murder, and I'm still going to have the same argument that it falls under double jeopardy. It was a single act against a single victim. I was defending myself. I wasn't being malicious, so on and so forth. And then I'm going to reference the assaults, that these were improperly brought up at trial, again, to sabotage my character. And if they hadn't been introduced, the jury might have been more sympathetic.
Yeah.
And they might have, you know, they could have very well said, well, this was a case of self-defense or perhaps even manslaughter. So, you know, I'm going to stick to my original thing. I'm not asking for the governor to fully pardon me. All I want him to do is commute the sentence and vacate the aggravated malicious wounding conviction.
So then hopefully you would get released on time served.
Yeah, I would still have a sentence. They would leave the sentence for the second degree murder intact. And of course, I'm asking for an absolute pardon on the assault and batteries, but, you know, I'm asking them to completely dismiss those and expunge them from my record. So I'm going to be asking people for letters of support.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I have placed the details and links for David Bomber in the description of this episode, and we will catch up with him again as he gets closer to his chance at clemency. 1 minute remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of Earsay.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.